morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you all this morning. I feel like I'm in the middle of a construction zone here, but aren't we all? Our lives are a construction zone from the day we're born till the day we die. This morning I'd like to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'd like to read from John chapter 16. From verse 7 to 15. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? This is just before Jesus' death and resurrection, and he's talking to his disciples here. He spent quite a bit of time talking to them here, and he's telling them that he's going to leave, and they didn't understand that. But he promised that he would send them a comforter, and that comforter we still have here today with us, the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction into people's lives, into men's lives that don't know the Lord. He shows us our need of salvation. That's one of the three things that he mentioned there. The Holy Spirit shows us when we need the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter was preaching to the people, it says in verse 37, Acts 4:37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This truly is a gift that we have, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when Vernon was talking this morning about this tree, I had to think of this too. You know, it's not, this gift is open to everyone. It's not certain special people that can have this. It can be anyone that claims the blood of Jesus, and we can receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we fail to recognize just how much the Holy Spirit does for us. We've all seen or experienced in our own lives the Holy Spirit. We've seen what he's able to do to a person's life. He can take the hardest sinner and turn him into a saint. Just look, for instance, at Paul's life, where he was when he met Jesus and the Holy Spirit filled his life. Maybe I'll just read that in Acts chapter 9. Where Paul was on the road to Damascus. Read the first six verses of Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Notice he had the same response that these men that Peter was preaching to. He immediately recognized Jesus and his need of Jesus, and he asked him, Lord, what shall I do? We would do good to have that same response today. because of Paul's willingness to give his life to the Lord and his willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit, because of that, we have a large part of the New Testament today that was written by Paul. And I've often thought it would be very interesting to know exactly how these people that wrote the Bible, how they heard, how they knew what to write, how they heard that. How did they receive that? Did they actually hear a voice and they wrote it down? Or was it just thoughts that came to their mind and they wrote that down? I'm not sure. We don't know that. But we do know that they were led by the Holy Spirit to write these things down. And we have it today here in our hands. You know, we believe in baptism of water, which is an outward sign of what has happened on the inside. And we also believe in a baptism of the Holy Spirit. John 3:5 says, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus told him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Makes it very plain there that without this Holy Spirit in our lives, that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 3 talks about that as well. Let's turn to that. Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 17. It's just two verses there. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. So here we have not only the Holy Spirit, but it talks about the Holy Spirit with fire. And I don't want to take this verse out of context here, but when an individual meets the Lord and he accepts Jesus and he applies the blood to his life, his life will be radically changed. From that point forward, he will not be the same person anymore. He'll be totally, completely different. When we allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to come into our life and burn out the chaff and get rid of the things that God can't use and doesn't want in there, that's going to make us a holy people. Fire is a symbol of divine presence and power, the presence of the Lord, the presence of God. Way back in Leviticus chapter 9, it talks about how that the children of Israel were to prepare their sacrifices for a burnt offering. And, you know, when Aaron and his sons laid the whole offering on the altar, they did it exactly the way that God asked them to do it. They prepared the offering and they laid it up there on the altar. It says in verse 24 of Leviticus chapter 9, it says that there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And then in Isaiah 40, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It's talking about John the Baptist. It says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, when we can do that, when we can put our life on the altar, and we allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to burn out the chaff, all the nasty things in there that we've acquired, when we allow God's Spirit to do that, the power of the Lord can be revealed to those around us, and his name can be honored and glorified through this. The Holy Spirit has been described as in the Christian life as a train. These old trains that had steam engines. You can have the train there, the engines all hooked up to the cars. They've got coal in the bin, they've got water in the boiler, the engineer is standing there with his hand on the throttle and everything is ready to go. But nothing happens. The train just sits there because there's no fire. And, you know, it's the same way in our lives. If there's no Holy Spirit directing us in our lives, we're just basically going to sit there because nothing happens. There's no fire. Now, maybe just a word of caution here. I know we need to make sure that the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is genuine. It's not something that we've trumped up on our own. It's not of our own doing, our own making. I had to think here of the charismatic movement that has come over America and basically all over the world. And I can't judge these people because I don't know their hearts. But if you look back in Leviticus chapter 10, there's a story there of Aaron's two sons, talking about the fire of the Lord again. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So this strange fire, or this trumped up thing that Aaron's sons did, was not one bit acceptable with God. He basically just blasted them with fire, and they died right on the spot. So I just had to think how serious it is. That we don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, it talks about that. It says, there's a couple of verses there that says that men's sins will be forgiven and all kinds of blasphemies will be forgiven. But it says, whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit has never forgiveness. There is no forgiveness for people that blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So it's something that we need to be careful about and not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But then we also have the other side of the ditch that we can fall into, where we maybe suppress the Holy Spirit. And I think maybe this is, at least for myself, more of the ditch that we can fall into. And I appreciated Aaron's prayer request there that he gave. You know, if the Holy Spirit nudges you to talk to somebody about the Lord, maybe you're at work or whatever, go ahead and do it. Step out into that scary part. I mean, it's let the Holy Spirit guide you. And if we pray for people or for circumstances to come in our life through the week where we can share the Lord with others, I think he will take us to some very interesting places. And that's my prayer, that we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives the way that he wants to. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. I think that's what that's talking about. Okay, so, excuse me. Maybe some more things on how the Holy Spirit works in our lives as Christians. How does he help us in our walk with the Lord? We already read in John 16, verse 13, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's very comforting to me to know that he will guide us if we ask him to. He'll guide us into all truth. But then don't forget in 1 John 4, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we can't just believe every spirit that comes along. We need to try the spirits and see if they are from God. It says that every spirit that is from God will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that's how we can know that we are listening to the right spirit. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he controls the Christian's movement. If you read in Acts, the early believers there, many times they were going to a place where they were going to bring the gospel, and the people were there waiting and just couldn't wait for them to get there so that they could hear about the Lord. And then there was other times that they wanted to go somewhere, and it said that the Spirit wouldn't let them go there. And I just had to think, you know, those people had to be really sensitive to God's Spirit and willing to listen. I know, at least for myself, when I have something in my head that I want to do, it's like, okay, let's go do this. You know, we decided we're going to do it. But we need to be sensitive to what God's will is and open to listen to him. and then be willing to change if we need to, whatever his will is. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he brings things to our remembrance. He can help us with our memory. In John 14:26, Jesus again talking here to his disciples, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And I know Jesus was talking to his disciples there when he said this, but I think it applies to us today. You know, he sends him as not only a comforter, but also to bring to remembrance the things that we need to remember. Have you ever noticed how a memory verse will pop into your head just at the right time and for the right occasion? And I think that's the Holy Spirit leading us, and he'll just put that into our memory just at the right time. The Holy Spirit also helps us in our prayers. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also help us our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So if our spirit is in tune with his spirit, he'll make it known to us what we need to, how we need to pray and what we need to pray. And you know, there's many stories of people that have, they've been just going through a normal day, and they get this burden to pray for someone. Maybe it's a close friend or Or maybe it's someone that they haven't talked to for years, hardly even know them. But the Spirit just puts this burden on them to pray for them right at that time. And so they do. And then later, they find out that this person they prayed for was maybe facing a difficult situation in his life. Maybe he was facing a spiritual battle right then, or a physical danger. Maybe he was almost in an accident or something. I've heard lots of stories like that where it seems like the Holy Spirit touched this person over here to pray for this person over here. And through that, God is honored and glorified. And I just think we just need to be sensitive to those times when the Spirit leads us to pray for someone. Don't put it off. Just stop whatever you're doing right there on the spot and pray for that person. Sometimes we might not even ever get to know what happened. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can compare notes and see what all happened on those different times when you prayed for a person and didn't even know that he was in such a need. I also appreciate the story that I heard here recently about a youth group in Georgia. There was a couple of girls there that felt a burden to pray for two young boys in the youth group that had left the church. They were doing their own thing there. And these young girls got together one evening and they decided that they're gonna pray for these two boys. And I think they were led of the Spirit to do this. And anyway, they got together, and before the little prayer meeting started, the one girl said, "You know, I just have some things that I need to confess myself before I pray for these boys." And so she confessed her things that she had. And this kind of went on from one girl to the next, and it actually went on till midnight, until they finally felt that they could pray for these two boys. So they prayed for them, and then they went home. And 5 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the one minister's door, and this boy, one of these boys, decided that he wanted to make things right with the Lord. And at the same time, across town at the other minister's house, there was a knock on his door as well, and it was the other boy. He wanted to make things right with the Lord. So don't ever underestimate the power of prayer and what the Holy Spirit can do through prayer. It's a very, very powerful tool. It's truly a gift that God has given us. And if we use it correctly, God can really receive a lot of honor and glory through this. So let's remember to listen to that still, small voice when he speaks to us, and use it the way that it was intended. In closing, I'd like to read from John chapter 7. It's just two verses there. John 7, 37 and 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You know, we live in a very good time right now. we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and if we allow him to, if we accept Jesus' plan of salvation and apply the blood to our lives allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and clean out those things that need to be gotten rid of, he will give us that living water that it talks about here. It says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I guess that's what I want for myself, for us here today, is those living waters that can flow out from us and bless those around us and bring honor and glory to God. I'll just leave it open.